It's brought by Rabbi Nizal that there were shiurim that he gave where, depending on who was present at the time, a particular person would come with a particular problem, and the shiur, despite the fact that the person didn't speak to Rabbi Nizal, he would include in his shiur the solution to that person's problem. The question is how? How did he know the guy's problem? The answer is he explains here how he knows. Because when a tzaddik teaches Torah, it isn't lahavdil like some, like a math teacher teaching math. There's a whole spiritual process that takes place, whereby first the tzaddik is mikasher himself to all the neshamas of those that are present. He makes a connection. And he elevates them. And they are the ones who play a role in the Torah that's brought down. That's why in the words that are being spoken, it's speaking directly to each one, because each one was one of the ingredients of the cake, like. They were part of what made it. They were the ones that played a role in that yichud from which the Torah itself came down. And here Rav Nosson is saying not just those that are physically present, but even those that are going to be present years later. How is it that somebody opens the Sefer, the Tzaddik, and he says, this is talking to me. He's talking exactly to me. The answer is part of it is because that person's nefesh participated in bringing these revelations of Torah into the world. Rabbi Nizal brings in a chapter in Likut Imran that the Tzaddik has connections, obvious connections, to those that are close to him, and he has hidden connections to those that seem to have nothing to do with him. Both of them draw their shefa from the tzaddik. The way it's being shown is that it's dependent on the connection to the nefashos. And that's why there were certain instances where somebody didn't come to a certain shir that Rabbi Nizal gave, or an additional person came that had a whole major effect on the Torah that was spoken. Each person that was there played a role in what was being said. Just like the Arizal says, that when it comes to davening, the Arizal says in the introduction to Tefillah Shachris, that if a person wants their tefillah to have any serious effect, they better first say, Hareini mekabel olai mitzvah sese shel v'yahavto l'recha kamoicha. I hereby accept upon myself the mitzvah of loving every single Jew as I love myself. What happens when you say that? The Arizal says, by doing that, you're linking hands with all of Klal Yisrael. Now your tefillah is not going up as the tefillah of Mr. So-and-so. It's a member of a chain of 600,000 people, a chain gang of 600,000 that's addressing Hashem kaviyachol. And the Gemara says, Apostle Kain Kel Kabir Velo Yimos, Hashem never rejects the tefillah of a tzibur, of a rabbim. That's in tefillah. Rabbi Nizal shows in this chapter in the Likutei Moharan that in Torah it's the same thing. You want to know what the difference is between some guy giving a shir in Gemara or in Kabbalah or whatever he wants to teach versus a tzaddik teaching, introducing new concepts of Torah? It's two different planets. When a tzaddik introduces concepts of Torah, it's connected to the nefoshos, the neshomos that are there, and he's literally creating new Torah. He's forcing Hashem to give forth new concepts of Torah that were never in the world before, and he's doing it based on the connections that he's making to the nefoshos that are present, and the nefoshos that are going to be coming in the future. V'zeh bechinas, that's the connection. The word Yisrael is Yesh Shishim Ribui Oises La Torah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah. There are 600,000 neshamos. Every neshama plays a role in the Torah. There's no such thing as the Torah without the neshamos. You understand? The Torah depends on the neshamos, and the neshamos depend on the Torah. It's a two-way street. V'zeh bechinas toikif hanes shel Chanukah. This is the powerful miracle of Chanukah. Because when the evil Greek nation rose up against Bnei Israel, it says, "Bikshu lahashkichom Torah secho." They wanted to try to make it that the Torah should be forgotten. Rav Nosson Zal explains now, "Malchus Yovan Horisho zebchinas taivus momoin." The evil Greek kingdom is symbolic of taivus momoin. Sheshom kol ho avodah zorah. It's in money that is found all the avodah zorah. Umi shenoyfei lasham, a person who falls into taivus momoin, kosheloi lotzeis misham. It's very, very difficult to get out of there. Kamay shekosov b'amaisa shel abal tefila, as Rabbi Nizal told a story about a certain bal tefila who went around to different groups of people helping them, and he said that the group that had fallen into taivus momoin, they were the ones who were most difficult to help. Valkein Nikras Zois HaTaiva Shel Mamoin Malchus Yovon Horishor. This is why this desire for money, this wrong type of desire for money, is compared to Malchus Yovon Bechinas Tovati Bivein Mitzula Ve'ein Mamad. There's a pasuk that says, I'm drowning in the super, super depths of water, and there's no way I can get out. The word for deep, deep waters over there is Yevein Mitzula. Yevein Yud Vav Nun is Yavon. Rav Nosson Zal says Yavon is the one that's used to symbolize a person falling to a low, deep place where they can't get out of. Which Rabbeinu Zal said, that's Taivas Mamon. Other taivos, there are other taivos. There's taivos achila, there's taivos noshim, which Rabbeinu Zal says the nature of that thing is it's less all-encompassing and less drowning than money. Person who gets absorbed in this quest for money, this desire for money, it envelops the person so completely where he's like 600 feet down in the ocean. You know, it's that kind of incredible, overwhelming effect. That's when the person is in this category of having drowned in the deepest depths and can't get out. Because it's just about impossible to get out of that. Once a person gets onto that treadmill and that rat race where he literally becomes part of it, such a person, you can't talk to him. He looks at you like a Martian. If you start talking to him about religion, spiritual, he looks at you, what are you, crazy man? You're not from this world. You don't realize this world is based on the dollar. It's dollars and cents. That's all, everything. Religion is dollars. The shul needs money. The tuition for the schools. To him, it becomes that there's nothing that's not related to money. And you know, they look at you like abnormal if you're not into it, and if all your discussion doesn't just revolve around that. This is why it says that Yavon wanted the Torah to be forgotten completely. The Gozru Shmad, and they decreed on the Jews that they should leave their religion completely. Ki Iker Shikchas HaTorah Meiroiv B'nei Yisrael Hualidei Taivas Momoim. Rav Moshe Zal says the main thing that has caused the majority of Jews to lose their connection to Torah is money. Taivas Mamon. Kashronu Royim Bechush, as we see with our own eyes, Beharbe Bnei Yoda, many people, Shebetelim in HaTorah, that have stopped learning Torah, Al Yidei Tirdosam B'Mamon, because they got involved in Parnosa, the quest for money and bills and finances, etc. They spend their entire days chasing after Parnosa. They don't spend any time in Torah. To the point where Chas V'Shalom, they lose their connection to Torah. They forget their learning. As we see many people, when they were in their younger years, when they were teenagers or in their 20s, they learned a lot. Many of them who were super successful, they were Talmidei Chachomim when they were young. However, afterwards, by the fact that they went out into the world, into the marketplace, they went into business, so they got involved in the quest for Parnassah, Noflu Chas V'Shalom L'Taivas Mamoin. They fell into this sea called Taivas Mamoin, this ocean called Taivas Mamoin. V'Nitredu B'Parnasosam, and they got so involved in the quest for Parnasa, Ad Shebotlu Es HaTorah, to the point where they did away with their kesher to Torah completely, Ad Sheshokhu Oiso L'Gamri, to the point where they forgot their learning completely, they lost their faith in Hashem. They didn't believe that Hashem has the ability to provide them parnosa through any little thing. That it doesn't take 12 years of college, graduate school, medical school, Portuguese school. It doesn't take 44 years of education to earn a living in this yo-yo world. And it doesn't take 18 hours a day of work and traveling to Japan and the Orient. It doesn't take all of that baloney, all of that hassle. But Hashem could do it much easier than that. Hashem could do it. If the money's coming from Hashem, for Hashem, it's not so complicated. He's got easier ways of supporting Joe Blow, Mr. X, this person, this new revelation on earth, who's such a chiddush that Hashem didn't have problems for the past 5,700 years supporting 44 billion trillion people, but this guy came to the world and now Hashem has to invent new computers and new countries, which nobody else has visited to, for this guy to travel to find the thing that he's going to make a living with. And the people did not have set times for study of Torah. Again, they lost. We're not talking about learning all day. We're talking about at least maintaining that kesher to the Torah, having set times for learning. Why? Because these people got so absorbed and enveloped in Taivas Momoin. To the point where they convince themselves that they have to spend all their days on Parnosa. There's no time for learning. You can't do both, or you can't do, I have to concentrate all my efforts right now on the quest for Parnosa. And guess what the joke is? They lost out on both fronts. They lost out on the Torah and the religion, and they didn't become multi-zillionaires. They didn't even become millionaires. They didn't even build up a savings account. This is the concept of all the conversion, the thrust that the Greeks put on trying to convert the Jews, trying to tear them away from their Yiddishkeit completely. Shehu bechinas taivas mamoin. That's the American dollar. That's what a dollar bill is. It's this super incredible powerful force to some people that has the ability to literally convert them, tear them totally, totally away from their Yiddishkeit. Ki kol hashmodos v'chol avodah zara tchuvim b'mamoin. Because all the shmad and avodah zara is all found in money. As Rabbeinu Zal describes in chapter 23 in Likutei Moran, where he discusses this issue of Mamoin being the comprehensive form of all idols. Al posuk vayigoresh miponecho oyev vayomer hashmeid. Rabbeinu Zal there quotes this posuk and he shows how it's related to Taivas Mamoin. Umigoidel his gabrus v'hispashtus Taivas Mamoin, and as a result of how far this thing goes, this Taivas Mamoin spreads itself, Shehu Bechinas Malchus Yovan Arisho, which represents this kingdom of the Greeks, Kimat Shenishtakcha Torah MiYisrael. There are times where it made it that the Torah was almost completely forgotten from the Jewish people. Why? Because again, they convinced them so much that the Torah is for Mars. It doesn't have a place on Earth. On Earth, you have to live. You have to survive. You have to eat, right? If you have to eat, then you got to put the Torah in. We have to send the Torah to the Himalayas. The Torah is for those strange people who hang out in Tibet, who smoke the funny cigarettes. They can learn Torah. But for normal people who want to raise a family, a wife and kids, there's no time or place for this Torah business, for this spirituality stuff. Again, that went out in the 60s with the yippies, with the long hair. Lahavdalay put the Torah in the same category. That there is such a thing, it just has no place on earth. And that's true. If Hashem would have created us without bodies, without a need to have clothing and cars and Mercedes and front lawns and back lawns and swimming pools and keeping up with the Joneses and the second Joneses, if not for that, be no problem. But since Hashem put us in this physical world, naturally, you got to stay far away from this Torah, because otherwise, you could never make it. You're not going to be normal. You're not going to be part of this norm, supposedly. Ach Hashem Yisborach oisei monu nisim v'neflois gedoilois b'chol dor v'dor. However, Hashem performs spectacular miracles for us in every single generation. V'noisein koyach b'hat tzadikim amitim shebechol dor, he gives the tzadikim of each and every generation the ability sheyikabtzu v'yalu kol hatzdokos sheyisrael noisnim, that the tzadikim should gather together all the charities, all the tzedakos that he didn't give and do, the tzaddikim gather that together and make from it a super powerful weapon. And that's what gives them the ability to crush this taivas momoim from totally swallowing up Klal Yisrael, that this taivas momoim shouldn't be able to flood the whole Jewish people completely and cause them to forget, to lose contact completely with the Torah. Because as we learned earlier, that tzedakah was the tikkun for taivas momoim. Rav Nosazal had showed it from Psukim, that the ruach is what calms the chamimus halev. And Ruach was Tzedakah, and the Chamimus Salev was the union of Taivas Momon. We learned this a few shiurim ago. V'ze b'chinas shehoya hanes al yidei ha-kohanim beis chashmonoi. This is why the miracle of Chanukah took place through the kohanim, who were from the house of Chashmonoi. Rav Nosson Zal explains now. Kohanim heim b'chinas koyach ha-tzedakah v'chesed shel Yisrael. The Kohanim symbolize the charity and kindness of Klal Yisrael. Ki ha-Kohen hu isha chesed. The Kohen represents chesed. According to Kabbalah, Kohen is chesed, Levi is gevura, Yisrael is tiferes. Yisrael, there's a pasuk, Yisrael asher b'cho espoer. Yisrael represents tiferes, which is the combination of chesed and gevura. Kohen is chesed. You have no greater example of that than Aharon HaKohen, the Isha Chesed, or Avram Avinu, who is called in the Chumash, Ato Kohen Li'olam. Hashem called him his Kohen. So Kohen is Chesed, Tzedakah. Ki hu mekabetz kol hatzedakos shel Yisrael. Because the Kohanim are the ones who gather together all the tzedakos of Bnei Yisrael. Ki tzrichim liten loy trumois umaisrois v'chol matnois kohuna. All the major thrust of charity of Klal Yisrael goes to the Kohanim. Sheheim b'chinas tzedakah v'chesed, because they represent tzedakah and chesed. U'b'koyach zeh heim meshabrim u'mevatlim taivas momim Yisrael. As a result of the Jews giving their charity to the Kohanim, by the Yidden giving their tzedakah to the Kohanim, who are the masters of tzedakah, the Kohanim are given the ability to crush this problem called Taivas Momoim. V'ze b'chinas beis chashmonoi. This is the significance of the family of chashmonoi. B'chinas ye'esoyu chashmanin mini mitzrayim. There's a pasuk that Rav Nosson Zal quotes here, talking about chashmanim against mitzrayim. Not as opposed to Yavon, they're both symbols of it. But he's going to show you. Wait a second, you'll see. So the pasuk says, "Yesoyu chashmanim mini mitzrayim, shehu bechinas tzedakah shemeshaberes taivas momoim." This pasuk, which puts together chashmonoim and mitzrayim, represents the concept of tzedakah against taivas momoim. Ki Mitzrayim hu bechinas taivas momoim. Mitzrayim also represents taivas momoim. Ki hi meleo gilulim vavoidezora. Mitzrayim was a place of super idol worship. Shem bechinas taivas momoim. We said before that idols are synonymous with money. Elile kesef ve'elile zahav, it's called in the Chumash, right? Idols of gold and silver. Ukemuvon behamaiso shel abal tefila. And as is brought in the story of the Baal Tefillah that Rabbeinu Zal told, Sherimza B'Yeshaya, Kapitel Lamed Aleph. Rabbeinu Zal, when he gave his students hints to interpret that story, he said it's found in Yeshaya Hanavi, Perek Lamed Aleph, Shehu Hoy Hayordim Mitzrayim Lazora. Woe is to those people who go down to Egypt looking for help. they think that all the money in Egypt is going to help them. And they end up finding out that that's just a quicksand. Now, as people that go into money, people that think that becoming rich is going to be the solutions to their problems, and they find out that it makes their life 10 times worse. The fact that they rose on that financial ladder, in many cases, makes their life much more complicated and worse, more suffering, more aggravation, than if they weren't so successful, in quotes. Mar benechosim, mar bedaiga, that concept. That the more a person allows themselves to get sucked into that financial cesspool, in a sense, or getting too involved in this quest for, in this livelihood issue, getting more committed to that than they need to, they end up finding out that it doesn't solve their problems, but it creates new problems for them that they wouldn't have had before. Lahavdil, just to give an example, you get certain people who are working in a company, and he's a certain low-level employee, so he works his 7 hours, his 8 hours, he leaves in Gamarnu, he has all his free time as his own. Then he rises up the ladder a little bit and he becomes a certain level of importance to the company where they tell him that as a reward for your importance, to show you the respect that we feel for you and everything, we're going to give you a beeper. Now you have a beeper to show how much you mean to the company. And again, this is to show you that you're not the regular guy like that other yo-yo, you know, who's walking around without the beeper. You're important. And with the beeper, now he becomes tied up to the company 24 hours a day. Now they can wake him up in the middle of the night, or in the middle of his family trip, they can take him out, or in the middle of his learning and his davening. Suddenly the beeper goes off, and oh, he's got this leash around his neck, which he didn't have before. I'm just using this as a tiny, tiny example. Or again, people get involved more, you know, higher level work, where they have to now order 3 or 4 magazines that they have to get at home on a monthly basis, because to do the nature, the high level work I'm doing, a doctor, he has to be read, because every day they're coming out with new medications and new this, which if he doesn't know them, he's lost. So it gets more sucked in and more so, and suddenly because, hey, what happened to me? This was supposed to be a 7-hour-a-day commitment at most. Kind of baloney. On weekends, I have to think about this stuff? Or on my time, I have to be involved in this? Says who? Why? How did I get sucked into this against my will and against my? I didn't realize that this was just a game that this Malach was playing with me to tie me more and more to this thing, where suddenly, you know, I find that it becomes my whole life. As Rabbeinu Zal quotes the pasuk over there, "Hoy hayorde Mitzrayim lazora ayin shom." Look over there in back of that story in Sipurim Isis, in back of the story of the Baal Tefillah, where they quote this pasuk and they show the connections. Umi shenoytel mamoinoi v'noisein tzedaka. Whereas a Jew who takes his money and gives tzedaka with his money, ze bechinas ye'esoyu chashmanim mini Mitzrayim. That's this concept of the chashmanoim being victorious over Mitzrayim. In other words, the power of the chashmanoi, the power of the kohen, the power of tzedakah being victorious over the Mitzrayim, over the idols, over the shemitoich taivas momoin, who mizgaber umeshaber tavosoi. This person who's involved in money, he makes money, but in the money, he takes out a chunk of that money and gives it to tzedakah, v'nois momoin le tzedakah. That's the tikkun. That's the tikkun for the taivas momoin. Nimtza shehakoyhanim beis chashmonoi ze bechinas koyach hatzedakah sheyisrael noisnim. So we see from these psukim that the Kohanim, the family of Chashmonoim, they represent what the concept of Tzedakah represents for Am Yisrael. The tikkun of Tzedakah for Taivas Momoin is what the Kohanim Chashmonoim do for Bnei Yisrael. That's what gives them the ability, that's what gave specifically this group of Jews, Bedafka Kohanim Chashmonoim, the ability to subdue the kingdom of Yavon, Shobachinas Taivas Momoin, which is synonymous with Taivas Momoin, that Yavain Metzula, which is the description that's used for one who gets swallowed up into this sea of money problems. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, V'zeh Bechinas Ma Shehayavonim Timu Kol Ashmanim. This is why the Gemara tells us about the Greeks, that what did they do? They defiled all the oils in the Beis HaMikdash. Shemen, Mishchas Kodesh, Hu Hadas V'HaToyro. Oil represents brains, Torah, Das. Because oil is what gives the candle its firepower. The brain needs the Das, with which the brain works, is compared throughout the Torah to oil. It's called Shemen Mishchas Kodesh. Ki al yedei taivas momoin nivgomim v'niskalkalin kol hamoichin v'adas. Because of the fact that when a person falls into this taivas momoin, the moichin and das of that person becomes spoiled, defective. Ki kemoi shal yedei shviras taivas momoin zoichin v'adas. Just as a person who succeeds in breaking this taivas momoin, that gives him the ability to be zoichin to das. Through which he gets Torah. That's what we learned earlier. We had built a whole pyramid earlier that by tzedakah, which breaks taivas momoin, that's how you zochet to chesed, which is das, etc., etc. If you recall a long way back where we built this ladder, we showed the steps on the ladder. So just as how it works in a positive way, the opposite is also true. When this item of taivas momoin takes over a person, which represents this kingdom of Yavon, then that person's brain becomes pogum. Suddenly he can't think the way he used to think. And he can't draw upon himself Torah. This is what it symbolizes when it says that the Greeks defiled all the oils. Hainu ki taivas momoin mispashetes ala koil lekalkolam chasashom. This taivas momoin spreads out over all the Jews to spoil them, to spoil their brains, and it takes away from them the ability to think properly. Ki al roiv hoilam. Shehem ha-hamoinam hi mispashetes lashkichom toirosei legamri. Rav Moses Zal says, because when it comes to the majority of Klal Yisrael, this item of taivas momoin spreads out over them and causes them to forget Hashem's Torah completely. Ki mei riboi tirdusam b'momoin, because of the fact that they get so involved in this issue of parnosa, Einam oiskim b'Torah b'mitzvois. They don't spend time in Torah mitzvois. Ad sheshoichem chas v'sholom haTorah legamri kanal. To the point where they forget the Torah completely. Again, those that have parents that came from Europe, for example, who, when they came to the United States, you know, they say that at that time, in order to have a job, a factory job, you had to work 12 hours a day, 14 hours a day. So that these people who were used to living in shtetls in Europe, where the normal working day was never more than 7 o'clock at night, 8 o'clock at night, and then they came home at 8 and would go to the Beis Medrash for 2-3 hours to learn Gemara at night, that kind of thing. Suddenly they were thrown into this wonderful America, the beautiful, and suddenly they were thrown into this ocean where suddenly it became a norm to work 14 hours a day, 15 hours a day. And gently, gently, that Kesher to Torah was eased out of their lives. And again, as you get to that, that's at first level, ground level, and higher and higher. Ach afilu al oison shenisha bohem eze dask tzas. Rav Nosal says, however, even those Jews who retain some of their das, v'oiskim b'Torah, and they do learn Torah an hour or two or three a day, gam aleihem misgaberes taivas momoin. Even on them, this taiva of momoin strengthens itself against them, ad shemetamo umekalkeles asadas, to the point where it defiles and messes up their thinking. Because as a result of taivas momoin, in many cases, it ends up causing them to have all kinds of ulterior motives in their davening and learning and everything else. He's davening to put on a performance for the guy in shul because he wants him to think he's a real religious guy, so that the guy will give him a job, or the guy will give him, you know, there's all kinds of things where this thing overtakes every aspect of a person's life. His tefillah and Torah and mitzvahs get involved, become defiled by his quest for money. Suddenly everything becomes a money-making proposition. Everything is tied on. He's going to go to shul early so that he'll meet this guy and hopefully speak to him about a job. So it ends up that his shachris and his kriyas, it was all for the job. In other words, where he doesn't separate between the two. It's not that here at Rachmona Litzlana, again, people that are involved in fundraising, you go to shuls, I'm talking from my own experience, you go to shuls in America, a vasikin minyan. The Sfardim in Brooklyn, New York have a vasikin minyan, something that started 10 years ago with 30, 40, 50 business people show up for shul 4 o'clock in the morning, 4:30 in the morning to come to daven. What could be more beautiful and more religious and more special than that? And then you see 10, 15 people show up who are mishulachim from Eretz Yisrael, people showing up, who also come to the Vesikin Minyan. Many of them don't even daven with the Minyan, because that wasn't their reason for coming there whatsoever. They're coming, they had nothing to do with Hashem or religion. They simply know they have a budget to meet, and there's this wealthy guy who's going to be at this Minyan, and the only time that he sees people is for those 6 minutes after Shacharis, when he stays around in shul, and he sees 3-4 people, and he sees, they show him their album with the pictures of their 400 students, or the new building they want to build, or whatever it is. And it ends up that the person who's cut, that suddenly the whole daven, for many of the people, the davening is lost. The wealthy guy is trying to see how many people he's going to play dodgeball with, how many people he's going to run away from that they're not going to see, not going to notice him, you know, and he'll sneak out the back way. And the ones that are coming for the fundraising, it doesn't occur to them that maybe if they daven shacharis with kavona, maybe at vasikin, which the Gemara says a person who davens vasikin, it's an unbelievable bracha. Maybe Hashem will help him. Maybe this millionaire is zero, is a crumb compared to the Hashem who can really help him, really. And maybe this millionaire isn't his millionaire. How do you know that he's the solution? Who told you that he's the one that's going to help you? Maybe your help has to come from someone else. Whereas if you tie yourself to Hashem properly, you'll get what you really need. And I'm not, this is where he's saying that Apiroiv, even those who are still Oisik Batoira, get caught into this trap, get so overwhelmed and impressed with money, with budgets and money, that even the tefillah and Torah and Avodah gets stained with a taivas moment.
How do you tie yourself to Hashem when you got all the gashmias things grabbing at you at all sides all the time?
Going to talk about it. He's talking here about the battle of Yavon against the Chashmonaim. One of the solutions, he said, was tzedakah. This is why he said that before you daven, the first thing the Shulchan Aruch says a Jew is supposed to do before shacharis is give tzedakah. Why? So that he'll release himself. By giving tzedakah before shacharis, hopefully it'll take away 1% or 100% of all my thoughts of parnosa, the taivas momoin. That's the way that I want to use the scissors. I want to cut myself away from that ocean called taivas momoin, and I want to be able to daven shacharis to Hashem. We're going to be given here, we've been given a little bit of advice how to deal with it, and we'll be given more advice. And here again, if a person, when giving their tzedakah, doesn't mean having to give more tzedakah money-wise necessarily. A person could give 5 agurot, but give it with the right intent, based on having learned what we learned in Likutei Halachos. A person says, I'm giving this tzedakah because I believe, b'emuna shleima, that this 5 agurot tzedakah has the power to blow away billions of dollars worth of bilbulim and nuns, you know, which could rob me of my shachris and my this and that. Person who gives it with the right intent and with his kashrus to the tzaddik, it's very possible that it could solve the person's problem. I gave you an example where I showed you the case of the person who's coming to a shul where they're davening vasikin in the entire New York City, where there's three million Jews. There might be 300 that daven vasikin. There's one vasikin minyan in Flatbush. In Flatbush, there's one vasikin minyan where they have about 21 guys that come there, or 18, 6.5 guys. And in the whole Syrian community, there's one shul that davens vasikin out of 6,000. So instead of this person appreciating the privilege they have for those 41 minutes to be part of the most spectacular event taking place and be able to disconnect themselves from millionaire and connect themselves to the super millionaire, to Hashem himself, something's wrong. Now, each person, based on their service, sometimes the Gemara says that Ein Adam Nitpas Al Tzara, when a person's in pain, when a person's experiencing a certain kind of pain, it's very hard to talk rationally to that person. Continuing Hilchas Aveda Metzia, Halacha Gimel, we're in the middle of paragraph Zayin. Rav Nosson Sal now is in the middle of a discussion about Chanukah, the whole story of Chanukah, as it relates to this chapter in Likutei Moran we were just discussing, where Rabbeinu Zal spoke about Taivas Momoin being the main symbol of Avodah Zarah, and the tikkun for this Avodah Zarah of Taivas Momoin was related to Tzedakah. And Rabbeinu Zal also spoke about the issue of the tzaddik who gathers together nefoshos, takes them up in order to bring down new chidushei Torah, which give them tremendous chiyus. And the last statement Rav Nosson Sal made was that as a result of Taivas Momoin, number one, some people are affected by it, whereby it doesn't allow them to be involved in Torah and Tefillah, period, because Parnosa becomes the justification not to have any time whatsoever for davening or learning, whereas even those people who do daven and learn are also affected by Taivas Momoin in the fact that it doesn't allow them to learn or to daven without pnios, without ulterior motives. And we gave some examples of those kind of things. Let's continue from the top of the left-hand column. V'zehu b'chinas shemalchus yovon shehi taivas momoin timu kol hashmanim. This is what it means when the Torah tells us that the Greeks defiled all the oils. Shafilu b'mokoim shenimtza eze shemen shi b'chinas das v'toira. This implies oil generally represents something of purity. It represents das and those things. Not only did they mess up where there was impurity, but even where there was oil, even where there was das, they made the oils impure. Hataiva shel momoin metame upoigim sadas. Ki nichnas boi kamo vekamo pniois ushkorim umachzovizorois machmas chemdas hamomoin veterdose baparnoso. Because the person gets involved in all kinds of outside thoughts and ulterior motives and lies as a result of the dependency, the taiva for money, and the tirdas haparnoso, all the stress from parnoso. Umachmaze loihoyo shemen lahadlik. And because the Greeks messed up all the oils, there was no oil to light them and earn the Beis Hamikdash with. Ad shemotzu benes tzloiches shemen, until by miracle they found one vial of oil, shoyo chosum b'choysomoy shel Kohen Gadol, which had the seal of the Kohen Gadol on it. Now we mentioned before that the Kohanim were the symbol of tzedakah. Since the major tzedakas of Klal Yisrael involve truma, meiser, all of those things, which go primarily to the Kohanim. The Chof Dalid Matnois Kohuna, the Torah speaks about 24 different gifts with which the Jews supported the Kohanim with. So Kohen is the symbol of tzedakah. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to address who the Kohen Gadol is. Kohen Gadol zebechinas hatzadik hagodol hoamiti. The Kohen Gadol represents the ultimate true tzaddik, shehu yochoy levarer ulahalois kol hatzdokois vachasodim sheYisrael oisim. He's the one who has the ability to elevate and put together properly all the tzdokois that all the Jews do. Ki kohen ish hachesed b'chinas tzedaka kanal. Because we learned earlier that the kohanim, who are called the people of chesed, kohen is symbolic of chesed, we mentioned earlier, they are the ones who represent tzedaka. V'hakohen ha-godol hu b'chinas chesed godol moed. Therefore, the kohen godol represents super chesed. In Kabbalah, the word Godol refers to Chesed usually. We say in Vayivorech Tovid, L'cho Hashem ha-gedula v'ha-gvura v'ha-tiferes, Gedula is a substitute word for Chesed. So Kohen is Chesed, Kohen Godol is double Chesed. Kihu kolol mikol hakohanim, because the Kohen Gadol is the composite of all the other Kohanim. Vehu zoche likones letachlis hakdusha shel beis hamikdash. He's the one that's zoche to enter into the holiest part of the beis hamikdash. Kihu nichnas lifnai velifnim lemokoim ha'oroin v'aluchos. He was the one who was zoche to go to the inner chamber of the beis hamikdash, where the holy ark was and the luchos. V'chol avoidas ha'beis hamikdash tolui boi, and all the service of the beis hamikdash was all dependent on the kohen gadol. Kihu mekabetz kol hatzdokos v'hachasodim shel kol Yisrael. He's the one who has this mission of gathering together all the charities and kindnesses of Klal Yisrael. Umeshaber umevatel hu avodazora miYisrael shehu taivas momoyim, and he uses that to destroy and to smash the avodazora that wants to attach itself to Klal Yisrael, which is taivas momoyim, this overwhelming issue of money. V'alkein hu zoyche lashiris godoil. It's for this reason that the Torah tells us that the Kohen Gadol was very rich. Kamoi Shomer Azal, as the Gemara says on the Pasuk, V'hakoyen ha-godoel me'echov, and the Kohen who will be above his brethren, the Gemara says, Gadlehu mishelechov. The Jews have a responsibility to make him above his brothers, to make him wealthier than the other Kohanim, by giving him gifts, by doing whatever they have to make him wealthier. Why? Ki ikar ho'ashirus be'emes, because the way that a person gets to true wealth is by breaking taivas momoin. Taiva means desire. The Gemara says that what's called taivas momoin? Yesh loy mono roitzim osayim. A person has $100, they want $200 more. They want to have 300. They have 500, they want 1,000 more. The person is never satisfied, always in a state of want, never pleased with what they have, always wanting more. Whereas the Torah's definition of Oshir is one who doesn't have that problem anymore, of needing more, that whatever he gets, he needs more. Ezeu Oshir HaSameach Bechelkoi. The Oshir is the one who says, what I have is perfect. I don't feel that I need anything more. I don't feel lacking. It's not that if I have $1 million, I'm lacking 2 million. My hole is 2 million big. That's how some people are. If they have a certain amount of money, then it means whatever they have, it'll only take twice that much to satisfy me. That's what the person thinks, and it's a bottomless pit. Whereas the definition of Ashiras Digdusha is one who is pleased, satisfied with what he has. So here, the fact that the Torah testifies that the Kohen Gadol was Oshir doesn't mean that he had necessarily more dollars, even though he might have. That's not the punchline. The punchline is he was the least diseased. He was the one who suffered least from this disease of taivas momoin, wanting and needing and this insatiable need, that kind of thing. As Rabbi Nizal writes in that chapter in Likutei Moran, that the true wealth comes from breaking taivas momoin. If a person succeeds in crushing that desire, then they're wealthy. Then whatever he has, he's thrilled with.
So Rav Nosson is all saying that whoever has these desires, that he's not satisfied with the amount of money he has, that person suffers from taivas momoin?
To an extent, yes. Because the words taivas momoin means desires money. Who desires money? Person who feels they don't have enough. Person who isn't happy with what they have.
What about the person who actually
doesn't Whereas if a person is very happy with what they have, 100% happy enough not to be grumpy, and they're able to look everybody in the face and smile, and able to look Hashem in the face and say, Hashem, thank you a billion for all the wonderful things you've given to me, but today there's another breakfast, another lunch, and if I'll have money, I'll have what to eat. If I won't have money, I won't have what to eat, or I'll eat less, or that kind of thing. A person who takes that kind of attitude, that's Shviras Taivas Momoin. Whereas a person who's always walking around, I need this, I need that, you know, I need another 50, I need 50 bucks, I need this, rather than walking around saying that I'm so appreciative and happy and thankful for what they have and what they've had, that's part of the difference here. Valkein hu zeichel tachlis hakidusha shel beis hamikdash. Because the Kohen Gadol had Ashirus Dikdusha, which means he's the symbol of breaking Taivas Mamoin, that's why he was zeichet to the highest Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. Ki al yidei tzedoko shehi shviras Taivas Mamoin, zeichen li Kedusha sa Beis HaMikdash. Because tzedoko, which represents breaking Taivas Mamoin, that allows a person to be zeichet to the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. Where do we see the connection? It's a pasuk. Bechina, says the pasuk, says, Va'ani, I, beroiv chazdecha, through a lot of chesed, Ovoy ve'secha, come to the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, how does a person get to be zoichet to the madrega of Beis HaMikdash? Beroiv chesed, if the person has a lot of chesed. Meaning, lack of taivas mamoin.